Yeah, we're going to sing about it anyway. That's Laura Love, Things I've Heard People Think. And that's one of her tributes to AIDS awareness. And last December 1st, this past week, was World AIDS Day. And I'm not going to say too much because Michael McCusker did a fantastic job talking and reading on his story told yesterday, and I highly recommend you check it out. Coastradio.org podcast, story told, and we all learn something. So here's to our friends and those we don't know who died from the AIDS pandemic and who are dying right now from the COVID-19 pandemic. May we rapidly turn this country and this world around. Well, this is Carol with Arts Live and Local, and I believe the arts are the best way to turn things around. I want to send this show out to everybody, whether you're making art, wish you could be making art, looking at it on the computer, or getting out and actually viewing it. We're going to hear about some opportunities. I also want to wish happy birthday in, Joe Robinson, we remember you. Presente. And for those of you still here, happy birthday, Dulce. And for the December 6th birthdays, Noah Swerdloff with a day before to Camilla. And to Emma Kate, Jill Mulholland, Jack Harris, Dan Sears, and Dave Brubeck. Would have been 100 years old this Sunday. And also happy birthday to Stacey Abrams. Yeah, that's Stacey Abrams coming up on the 9th. All Sagittarians. And you know what that means. Well, folks, my first guests, I don't know whether they're Sagittarians, but they are sure pulling together to present a live virtual fundraiser for our community. And this would be the greater community. Riverbend Players is presenting It's a Wonderful Life. And this is co-sponsored by Fulcrum Community Resources. And I'm going to let these folks tell you. You've heard from Riverbend before. They've put on plays at the North County Recreation District and also right here at Kala and various and sundry places up and down the coast. But this one's going to be a little bit different. And Tom Coughlin is here from Riverbend Players. And Tom is the director this year. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Carol. It's nice to be back with you.
Good. Well, this is Tom Coughlin. Okay, folks, get the names right. We've got two Tom C's.
That's right.
I know. So that's Tom Coughlin from Riverbend Players. And then, is that how you pronounce it, by the way?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. And then the other Tom is Tom Campbell, and he is a board member with Fulcrum Community Resources. And I have a suspicion that most people are not familiar with Fulcrum unless they live in the North Tillamook area. So he's going to tell us all about that. Hey, Tom Campbell.
Hi there, Carol.
Hi.
It's going to be a tough go, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But yeah. I am a Sagittarian, so I can pull together with you on that.
Hey, that's great. Well, happy birthday to you, too, then.
Well, thank
you. So, first, why don't you tell us a little bit about Fulcrum Community Resources, and then Tom Campbell, and then Tom Coughlin, you folks, Riverbend Players, I believe we're planning to do It's a Wonderful Life at the theater. Is that correct?
Well, sure. Before the pandemic, that put a events, theatrical events, but everywhere. I mean,
right.
People in the performing arts right now are really hurting because
they
have no audience, there's no venue.
So absolutely,
that's tough.
It's been very hard, and we're talking all the way to Broadway shutting down,
absolutely.
And from big to small, everybody's out of work. But you two groups came together. Now, is this the first time this has happened? That Riverbend and Fulcrum have come together?
Yes, it is.
Go ahead.
And, suggesting that this is a collaboration is really a generous term because what really happened was Riverbend came up with the idea to do this virtual presentation. And they asked Fulcrum, would it be okay if we could do this as a fundraiser for your business relief fund?
Wow.
So obviously the answer was yes.
Obviously, yes. Okay. So now tell us what Fulcrum is and in its complete form, because you've been, give us a little history, too.
Okay. Fulcrum was actually initially started as the North Bay Community Center Incorporated before there was a North County recreational district. And so one of our community leaders, Mark Beach, started this corporation, made it a 501c3 for the purpose of raising some money for the building that is now NCRD.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
And it had to do with building out the gallery in there. And
was that a school before?
That actually was one of the very first schools in the community, and the architect that designed it was A.E. Doyle. It's a magnificent building, but now it's publicly funded, and so the need for that corporation kind of went by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark continued to maintain it as a 501c3, but after a while said, there's nothing to be done here. So he put it out to some of the members of the community and said, look, I've got this started, but I'm not feeling the inspiration anymore. And so the people that now are involved with Fulcrum said, yes, we'll take this. They renamed it. And the way that Fulcrum functions is as a really as a sponsor for people here in the community who have the idea to do something good in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, the mission statement is fostering the transition of the Nehalem Bay community to a sustainable future.
That's,
and so what we do is when somebody comes to us and says, I've got this idea, but I'm not a 501c3, I'd like to be able to take some donations.
Mm-hmm.
We let them use us as a financial pass-through.
Right. As an umbrella group.
An umbrella group.
Yeah.
And so
nice.
Over the years, we've been able to help groups like the Smiley Brothers that harvest salmon at the fish hatchery. And distribute that into the food banks in the community.
Very generously, yeah.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
Yeah.
And the Manzanita Music Festival is another project that we sponsored.
That's a new one.
Well,
relatively, isn't it?
Well, we didn't have a Manzanita Music Festival last year for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing 3-4-day music festivals here in Manzanita for about 3 years, years, and bringing some really top-ranked talent into the community, and then associating these musicians with some of the high school students.
Yes.
And it was a fundraiser for the high school music program.
So is that part of the idea, if you work as an umbrella or as a financial pass-through for an organization, then there must be something coming back to the community. You're not just going, are you I don't know. How does it work? For example, if a business is falling apart and needs help.
Well, I mean, no, Carol, those are two different things.
Okay, good.
Okay, so, you know, usually this would be our projects are people that have ideas of, you know, some charitable function that they want to perform in the community.
Okay.
Okay, and they come to us and they say, we're just getting started and we just need your help. And they're not necessarily looking for financial help.
Mm-hmm.
What they're looking for is the opportunity to have this banking relationship with us so that when people want to contribute to their cause, they can get the recognition of having made a contribution to a nonprofit charity.
Got it. Okay.
So okay. That's how we function. But then, you know, we've done a couple of other things in the community, which has led us to doing this business relief fund that... so many members of the community have been so generous trying to help us do this. But we did a tornado relief fund when the tornado happened. And we raised over $40,000 to help
beautiful
local businesses, not just the businesses, but also, you know, the homeowners in the area that had damage to their structures and weren't being compensated by their insurance company or were having trouble processing their claims. I have a background as a lawyer, and so
that helps.
It does. So yeah. I went out and talked to people who had had damage to their homes, and you know, found out about what their insurance situation was, and if they. You know, some people were a little bit shaken, and they didn't know how to do these.
Of course.
What? How?
Where do you go? How do you?
Where, right. Yeah. So I helped them with some direction on that.
Nice. So,
but we also distributed that money.
Right, and that I have your mission statement. I copied it here, and that makes sense to foster the transition of the Nehalem Bay community to a sustainable future. So obviously, that involves. But now I understand better. It's coming and going all the way around. I was introduced to Fulcrum through the BBQ list, and I love it because, for example, I was able to celebrate Chuck McLaughlin's 92nd birthday by making a contribution to Fulcrum. That's all they wanted.
Oh,
and that works into the community, even though I don't live there. I have lots of friends there. So now Riverbend comes along and says, we want to do our Christmas play or our holiday show, and obviously we can't put it on the stage anymore. What are we going to do? Tom Coughlin, what happened? How did you do this?
Well, I have to tell you that, and I'm on the board, I'm the VP, but Jeff Schlammel is really, you know, kind of the mastermind around, you know, all of this. We voted and said we're not charging for this play. Mm-hmm. We want to do something to give back to our community, you know, during this, you know, pretty difficult time. Mm-hmm. So they got together with Tom and Fulcrum, and it just happened. And I was away from some of the business dealings because I was directing the play. And, you know, Zoom is a brand new kind of platform for us, obviously, and the theater world in general. And, frankly, kind of difficult.
So I'm trying to picture
this. Before I get... You know, off in the weeds, Carol, what do you want to know?
Well, I wanted to, and before we even get to that, tell us a little bit about Riverbend Players itself, your role in the community.
Okay. So, obviously, Riverbend Players is an all-volunteer nonprofit theater company in North County. They were founded about 15 years ago by Phyllis Sanderson. There's a lot of people in North County that made this go. The McMahons, Jane Knapp, Dave Bell. I mean, these are the kind of the giants that we built this thing on. And we were kind of a partner. Partner's a funny word, with NCRD there at the elementary school, and they were instrumental in taking that auditorium and building it into a beautiful theater. And so we are their house theater group, and
we
have a. And the only thing that we've done over the last 4 years is we've become a little bit more independent in that we manage our own money. We're a nonprofit. But, you know, frankly, this production is our 40th production over 15 years.
Wow.
So we've been busy.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And frankly, you know, even with the pandemic, we haven't missed a year.
That's beautiful.
I'm working with some of the best people. I've got about 50 actors in the pool, a dozen or so volunteer directors. The shows are usually produced exclusively by Riverbend Players. Mm-hmm. And we've got just a super board, new people coming on all the time with great ideas.
And you've got a beautiful theater to work in these days.
We really do. And I got to put out a pitch there, because the groundbreaking for the new NCRD Performing Arts Center lobby is next week, which we were invited to.
Oh.
And I guess that construction will be going on, you know, this spring, but they're going to add, you know, bathrooms in the front and a nice lobby. Dave Wiegand is just, you know, as the executive director out there, is just instrumental in making this. He has a theater background, a music background. The guy's amazing. And it's been all good. We're really looking forward to working with them in the future.
I'm laughing because I've gone to many plays there, and now I started thinking, how many theaters have this quandary about no toilets? And NCRD, they were there, but you had to walk up to the front.
Water and food just to get to the bathroom. Right. I understand that.
And then if you came back late, you're in trouble because you're walking and everybody's looking right at you because you're in the front of the stage. So congratulations on that, too. But I realized it's not just you. You know, Astor Street Opry, God knows how long they waited. You know, we used to have to go outside in whatever the weather, you know.
Yes.
And the 15th Street. So congratulations on that. So
really congratulations to NCRD and all the grant writing that they did to put that together. It's fine.
Well, you folks, the two Toms I'm speaking to right now, that was Tom Coughlin speaking about Riverbend and Tom Campbell about Fulcrum. You folks have a fabulous community there in North Tillamook County. I'm in love with, there's so many things that go on and so many people that support each other and all these, the three villages. And it's so rich culturally. I've had the artists and the writers and everybody. But now, how did you shift from the live theater to this virtual? I guess this was a good play to be doing it with. It's supposed to be a radio play.
Well, radio plays generally are.
Yeah.
Obviously, if we can get the audience, whether they're virtual or they're in front of us, in the frame of mind that they are a radio audience and they're supposed to be not so much watching us because there's not actors on the stage, they're radio personalities presenting the radio story. So to a certain extent, it's not a real stretch, but if you remember from last year, we had all the sound effects on the Foley table on stage, and our radio audience could watch them,
which is fun.
And they could watch the radio personalities perform and stand next to each other, and there was that obvious theater give and take. So that doesn't really happen so much here. We tried to bring in a live Foley table over Zoom, and there, you know, the audio performance over that platform is not great.
Yeah.
It's made for, you know, conferences and putting on PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah.
Although
musicians are doing it, but for a lot of us, it's totally out of sync anyway.
I know. So you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do. I've gone to dance festivals, too.
So we experimented with that and it died.
Okay.
You know, pretty much. So now all of our sound effects are virtual. We figured out a way to present those to our virtual audience over Zoom.
Perfect.
We're using the webinar platform, so we can have many thousands of audience.
Oh, good.
Participants.
That was one of my questions. Yeah. There's no limit on the numbers.
There is 10,000.
Oh, okay. I think we can handle it. Okay.
So, and then we have our performers who are basically on this virtual stage, and they have. They'll be in costume, and they have backgrounds, and we will present this story like we should present it, with the sound effects,
great,
the same energy that we would on stage. And this cast, they're great. I've got, you know, Stu and Karen. Martin and I have a brand new Mary Hatch in Christie Beach, and a new George Bailey in Walter Mills. I have Margo McClellan, Mike Sims, who's our local constable. Mike Kingsbury's back. Lundy's back. Stephen Clark is back. And they all these people do 45 character voices and over 50 sound effects in the roughly two-hour show. So they're busy.
I think it's. everyone should tune in, just because this is an adventure. Not to mention the quality, but just the idea that this is something new. And hopefully we won't be doing this forever, although we will. I'm sure there are many of us who have been using Zoom. For example, even with this, you can have people from New York, from Squamish, British Columbia, hello up there, from France, from anywhere watching. And that doesn't happen usually. And 10,000 people you can't fit in the NCRD, no matter how beautiful the theater is. So it's a wonderful life. When folks, you all know the story of George Bailey.
Carol?
Yes.
Can I
go ahead?
Just
please.
The details again. We're December 12th.
That's
December
good.
13th, 7 p.m.
Okay.
Pacific time, for those people that are telling their friends out in Cleveland and wherever.
Right.
So get the time zone right. And if they go to riverbendplayers.org, riverbendplayers.org, the Zoom links are right there. And it costs nothing for them to see. They can drop in and watch the
fantastic.
Show.
Fantastic.
And we'd be glad to have them.
So nobody has to register in advance or anything?
No, ma'am.
And what if somebody's late? Can they get in?
Yeah, no.
Oh, my gosh. This is so not theater. I love it. This is so wonderful. Now, here comes the fulcrum part. This is all free, folks, but tell us what people can do to make their donations as an appreciation, and how that's going to work. Either one of you, tell us how that.
I'll let Tom take that.
Thanks, Tom. So what this is a fundraiser, not just for Fulcrum, because what we're doing right now is we're doing a business relief fund.
Mm-hmm.
And we started this in the springtime when the mayor and the governor declared that we were shut down.
Yeah.
And we had all of these Main Street businesses that were just dark.
Yeah.
And Dan Haig, who works at the Manzanita Visitor Center, approached us and said, you know, you did that tornado relief fund, and it would be really good if you did a business relief fund.
Nice.
And so you were just talking about Chuck McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Barbara McLaughlin is our mm-hmm. president.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the initial communication. Barbara came to the rest of the board. Who includes Leanne Thompson, one of your Clatsop County commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, yes, this is a great project for us to take on. We've done the tornado thing. We can do this all over again. So donations, then, are actually, Dan put us up with a PayPal. And so you can go to exploremanzanita.com/donate.
Okay. Now, is that going to be anywhere listed at some point? So for people who don't happen to catch this broadcast, how will they know?
Well, River Bend has been promoting the play, and we have as well. So you can go to www.fulcrumresources.org. And you can find information about it. Or you can look on Fulcrum Community Resources on Facebook and find other information about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the main way to donate is through the exploremanzanita.com donate.
Okay.
Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, and you can send a check to Fulcrum Community Resources at P.O. Box 136, mm-hmm. Nehalem, with a zip code of 97131.
131. Oh. I think it's terrific.
Oh. Carol, can I add one thing?
Please.
I had a friend, my cousin lives in the UK, and they want to watch, and she said, can we donate now? And I believe, Tom, that the link is up.
It's up. All you have to do is go to the exploremanzanita.com, and you can find it, and it's really easy. I just want to say, well, I've got the stage for just a moment. This has been an incredibly fabulous experience to be involved in this business relief fund. We've raised almost $100,000 now.
Fantastic.
And
wow.
That includes $30,000 of grant money that we got from the Oregon Community Foundation, mm-hmm. our fund. The rest of that is all private donation.
Mm-hmm.
These people have been very generous. This is people, you know, that Manzanita in this tri-village area has a fond place in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And they've opened up their wallets to help us out.
Well, you know, I think part of it is people at this time, there are so many people in need. And even the people in need want to help others. Everybody wants to contribute in some way.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of this. And here's a perfect example. Riverbend wants to be part of this as well, in addition to offering their fabulous theatrical skills and now technical as well. They are supporting the community. And Fulcrum Community Resources is making it possible, making it easy. So exploremanzanita.com/donate. And whatever it is, I bet they're taking as little and as much as you want to give and support the community that supports the arts, and they do. So I want to thank both of you so much for coming. Tom Coughlin from Riverbend, the director of It's a Wonderful Life, the radio play adapted by Joe Landry, being performed December 12th and December 13th, 7 p.m., live. And all you have to do is go to riverbendplayers.org and jump right in. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward. And Tom Campbell, from a board member with Fulcrum Community Resources, and they are at that, fulcrumcommunityresources.org, or you can just go to exploremanzanita.com and donate. And don't break any legs. We're virtual, after all. We don't need to break any legs. But I'm looking forward to this. Have a wonderful performance. And thank you for making such a beautiful community and supporting the arts, supporting the people. So,
well, Carol, thanks for having us on.
You
yeah,
bet.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you are listening to KMUN Arts Live and Local. A lot of you may remember or realize that December 10th is Human Rights Day. And I am sure if you tune into Michael McCusker next Thursday morning, you will, for a story told right here on KMUN 919 or KTCB 89.5 or coastradio.org, you will hear a lot about it. I want to play a little music. And first, a couple of pieces dedicated to Article 14, the right to asylum in other countries from persecution, seems to be very relevant these days. Here's Anne Weiss, Crossing the Border. Thanks, folks. Stay tuned.
Well, America, standing on high stilts, wearing tight pants, says from all this hate and with all these restrictions, you might think I can see you, but I can't. Maybe your skin is lightning, maybe your face is white, mixed up in your blood, and you're crossing the border tonight, crossing the border. Show me the states I'd map for good, crossing the border, where water meets water, crossing, crossing the border. Hey, hey, hey. Hey there, judge, I heard your grandma spoke Italian. She worked so hard she couldn't spell her name, but she was wiser than you knew. Hey there, senator, should we have turned your father away? Could he prove he was a German Jew? Mr. President, I heard that the word mine was sent. We can't steal land, but share we can't. Those are racism's rules. Mr. Border Guard, I heard it was the famine in Ireland that starved America to you. Crossing the border, show me the stateside map for God. Crossing the border, where water meets water. A girl from Nagasaki suddenly turns and smiles at us. If love sees no color, if justice is blind, if there's a fence in your conscience, maybe you better jump your mind. Crossing the border, can you show me where the line? Crossing the border, where water meets water, crossing, crossing the border. Crossing the border in the heat of night.
Yeah, crossing the border. Everyone. Everyone needs to have that right. And there are 30 articles in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we need to get back to them. We need to get to them. I'm not sure we ever did. And by the way, Anne Weiss is right here in Portland. Fabulous singer. And right here in Astoria, we have the Columbia River Symphony with director Corey Peterson. Hi, Corey.
Hey, how are you doing there, Carol?
Okay. And also Angela Calvin Peterson, not a coincidence that they have the same last name. Angela is the first violinist. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Do you have company with you?
No, I don't.
No.
Is it noisy?
No. I was just wondering whether you, usually when you two come in to be on my show, you've got little ones with you. So,
No, they're at the daycare today.
Okay, good job. Okay, great. So, you've done it again. Columbia River Symphony is outdoing itself, as it seems to, every year. How long have you folks been around?
Was it 14 years?
2007.
Okay, and I like to tell the story, but I'll let you tell the story. How did it come about?
Yeah, Angela, you can take that one. That's fine.
Okay. Well, Corey and I came to the North American coast in 2007. We taught a year, and I said, when school was out, I said, you know, we need to do something Saturday morning, and these kids need to play year-round. And Corey was overjoyed, so we called an audition, and it was for youth only, but We had a lot of older youth, right. As in
adults
of all ages, want to join. So we eventually evolved into a community symphony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that story. Hey, we're only working 5 days a week, each of us. Why don't we start an orchestra? And who knew it was going to be so popular? But you've done a fabulous job. And am I right that most of your concerts are in diverse locations?
I would say that's pretty correct. Yeah, we like to spread the love and joy around the community. Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us some of the places that you have created music?
Let's see, Masonic Lodge, that was one where we started off at. I know we've been all the way over to Chinook at the old school that they refurbished over there. Mm-hmm. That was the first for them for symphony-wise. Let's see, churches all up and down the coastal area here. Let's see, the middle school, which is for the Story School District before it was torn down, that was not the greatest acoustics, but we've performed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I know they've come all the way out to Jewel.
Wow.
The Armory.
And a couple of times. So we've hit
the Armory.
Just
that's
a number
crazy.
Of areas here.
How were the acoustics at the Armory, speaking of acoustics? Yikes.
So it literally, we have that pre-concert warm-up before the audience comes in. It usually about an hour's worth, and it took us a full 45 minutes just to feel out the room. It was so much echo.
Yeah, it's immense.
And by the time the audience came in, we finally pretty much figured it out, but it took us the entire almost hour to figure out that sound.
Right. I'm surprised you even got it because it's so big.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now, this year, instead of doing it's never normal, but a holiday concert. Is this the time that you usually do it with your twin brother, or is that a different time of year?
That's usually the Story of Regatta time.
Regatta time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this year, tell us what you've decided to do. And also, I wrote down, but I don't really understand. It is premiering on Friday, December 11th at 7 p.m., but then in parentheses, and through the holidays. What does that mean?
So basically, if you're unable to catch the concert on a week from today, next Friday, we're going to keep it up on our webpage, and I believe the Liberty Theater is going to keep it up also through the month of December. So you can catch it anytime you want. So if you're not able to catch it on Friday night at 7, it'll be there 24 hours a day for people to watch.
Fantastic. Well, you know, that's especially good for those of us who have poor Wi-Fi reception, because the middle of the night, we can more likely get it then. So this is ColumbiaRiverSymphony.org, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. And I know the Liberty Theater is also going to have it on their front of their webpage as well.
Are they going to actually have the concert there at the Liberty?
Not there, but they're going to have it on their webpage. So you can access it from the Liberty Theater's webpage and also the Columbia River Symphony webpage.
Okay, and the Liberty Theater is LibertyAstoria.org, so you can find them there. But it's fun to go to the ColumbiaRiverSymphony.org website because there's lots more there as well.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of wonderful things there.
And I also jotted down Columbia River Symphony. It's what feelings sound like. I like that. It's I can relate to that quite easily. So tell us what is going to happen. What is this concert?
Okay, well, I do know when everything hit with the pandemic, like most, we were kind of in a little bit of shock, and so we shut the doors down and haven't rehearsed since March. And so we watched we had a season for the Mount St. Helens at the Johnson Ridge Observatory we're supposed to be prepping for, and that didn't happen. And so we watched that concert season go by, and then the summer season, the regatta went by, and before the month of June even began, I talked to the Columbia River Symphony Board and just said, you know, we could sit on our bottoms here and do nothing, or we could look at the other direction and say, what can we do? This is an opportunity, not something necessarily negative. It can allow for a different area for ensemble to grow. So I said, let's move forward. Our most popular concert of the year is the holiday concert, and by goodness gracious, we're doing something. We're gonna we're putting something together. And I said, you're either in or you're out, because this is we're not sitting anymore. And so as the board kept talking, we came to discussions that all the other ensembles also, I mean, there's a huge, rich musical arts area along the coast. Mm-hmm. Let's involve as many as possible. So we sent out invitations to every single large and medium and even some of the smaller groups. We just couldn't reach out to every single one, but definitely all the large ensembles, and the majority of them did say, yeah, they would like to be represented. So the concert on Friday is going to actually have, some past clips of some of the larger ensemble performances, but we also have 10 other ensembles.
Oh, wow.
That have come together and socially distanced and practiced. And, for example, let's see, the North Coast Chorale brought in 12 musicians and they have their masks on. And the Liberty Theater graciously donated the entire Liberty Theater, different rooms, so we could coordinate different performance venues within the Liberty Theater. So safety protocols and all those things were followed.
Fantastic.
And so each ensemble that's taken part either has representatives of their ensembles or a recording of a past performance, and we have over about an hour and a half concert. Most of it, it's all brand new performances for the audience, and so it really is quite a treat. We have the Chorale, the Columbia River Symphony, the North Coast Chamber Orchestra, let's see, the Astoria Tuba Quartet, Dave Drury, now let's see, Greg and Isabella Morrill, and she's one of the Oregon runner-ups, or she's the winner of the composition for students here for last year.
Oh, wow.
The state of Oregon.
Where do they hail from?
Oh, they're in Warrenton, Greg and Isabella.
Okay, I don't know them. Great. Okay, go ahead.
And then we have the North Coast Trumpet Quartet, four trumpet players from various ensembles all coming together. We have the Windham Hill Quartet from Tillamook area all the way over to Pacific City, the Stella String Quartet, and we also have the Liberty Trio, which is Managing Director Jennifer Crockett and Betsy Yellowbrick and Judy Woodward performing.
Oh, super. Okay, now who's the Stella String Quartet?
So that's string players from, again, two of the symphonies here. That's Madison Solgan and Jude Madelich Hall, Nick Baisley, and Judy Woodward created their ensemble about a year ago or so.
Wow, this is so rich. Okay, now, logistically, I just as I grilled my last guest, how the heck is this going to happen? Explain me how. You said people are in different rooms. So was everybody filmed and then the videos are going to be used? Or what are we going to see on December 11th at 7 p.m. or whenever we watch it?
This was a massive project, so I'm going to explain two different things.
Okay.
One was the Columbia River Symphony. We went forth, and starting in June, we put a massive project of creating our first ever virtual symphony performance together. So we have, I believe it was 51 musicians recorded separately their very own recordings from their own sites at their homes, and they submitted them, and we compiled them all into these rectangular squares that you've probably seen already. And so we've had our first performance like that. So that's one of the things.
Okay,
wait.
Stop right there. When you did that, was everybody exactly correct? So you didn't have to, you just put them all in there and it works?
It's a lot of work. We're talking post-production is about a month or two to put all that together.
Thank you.
Once the musicians send it in.
That makes more sense because I can't believe that it could be.
Oh, no. Yeah. I had to send them an audio recording of the music and then a virtual conductor, which was me conducting, and then they had to follow that in an earpiece while they recorded themselves from a different video, and then set it in, and then we had to cut from the beginning and the ends, and then splice them together, and separate the audio and the video, and then try to put them back together, and it was quite the project.
So do you, Corey, have all these technical skills?
I do not have that very many technical skills.
Okay.
So local photographer and videographer Justin Grafton has been very, very helpful helping us put all this together on the side as we're going through it.
Good. Okay. Okay. So we are going to see the end product of this. And will we be looking at the boxes then? That is so fun.
Only the musicians have only released it to them with direct orders not to let anyone else see it yet.
Wonderful.
It'll be a premiere next Friday. Yeah.
I have seen some of this kind of work, and it is so impressive.
It is.
And fun, too, because you get to see people in their own spaces where they record it. So, okay, so that's CRS's Columbia River Symphony's piece. And give me an example of a couple of the others, what they did.
So we hired Justin Grafton to bring in his videographer skills here and cameras. And so within the Liberty, we utilized three different rooms. And so I put a schedule together that had each of these groups had 1 hour to come in and rehearse. And we would social distance and then have breaks between and all the sanitation stuff. And he would set up his cameras in the back. And each group would introduce themselves. They'd warm up for about 20, 30 minutes. And then they would perform their pieces. I'm not going to say how many times, but quite a few times until they had a take that they really enjoyed. And
did they perform on the stage of the Liberty or in the room that they were rehearsing?
So three or maybe two of the ensembles performed on the stage to an empty room.
Right.
And then we used the Paulson Lining Room, I believe, and the McTavish Room.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
Those are the three rooms that we used.
All beautiful rooms. So that's...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. This
and so
is
all these videos,
huge.
Everything. I have a Dropbox folder that's just loaded with all these things, and so I've shared it with Justin. And so currently, we've been in talks constantly, specifically the last few days here. We're trying to put all of this together, and it's currently about an hour and a half right now. But we're in the heavy editing mode. But we're excited because this is an idea that came to fruition, and it's almost done.
It's incredible. Now, I was thinking it was going to be 10 hours long at the rate you're going with all these groups. But has each group done one piece? Is that the idea?
Pretty much. We have, North Coast Crowd did two. And in CRS, we put four together. Two of them are kind of new, and then the other two are some old ones. Crow has two. Storia Tuber Quartet has three.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dave Drury, Greg, and Isabella Morrill have one. The other ensembles, the classical groups, have a little bit lengthier ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then the group out of Tillamook and Pacific City, they have three. And that's an amazing ensemble because I've listened to a lot of their inspirational pieces that they talked about, which was the Windham Hill music.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned a few pieces I like. So they went out of their way and got a transcriber to transcribe all this music so that their quartet could actually play the music. So there's even more things on the side that are pretty special for this.
Wow. This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Even before we've seen it, I give you a big congratulations.
Yeah, this has been a little, I already say a little project, but it's...
Well, Corey, I've never known you to not be putting yourself through something stressful so you can make something even more outrageously wonderful for the community. What do you think, Angela?
I think it's wonderful. I think, you know, when we first started this group, the intention was directed towards students. And then it kind of blossomed into people who were part of the group. But I think this is a real turning point. We really want to unite the community and mm-hmm. really showcase the wonderful things that are out here. And we're so proud of those groups that chose to participate. And we hope to do something on a grand scale again with
mm-hmm.
all the groups.
Mm-hmm.
This is only the beginning.
Fantastic. So again, folks, you may tune in for the actual premiere if you're able to get it on December 11th. That's a week from tonight at 7 p.m. at ColumbiaRiverSymphony.org or LibertyAstoria.org. And tell us, is there anything that you folks still need for the Columbia River Symphony? I mean, hopefully... sometime next year, people will be able to come together again.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking for musicians or anything that you need?
Well, we're always looking for musicians, but I want to put a call out for anybody that has any type of skill, because the more variety of person we have on the board, mm-hmm. the more ideas, the more we can accomplish.
Uh-huh.
So I really encourage anybody who, I mean, the skills range from passing out cookies to sorting flyers, We would really love to include more people at various levels that just love the art.
So basically, if somebody is inspired by what you're doing, for whatever reason, they can get in touch with you and you will find a spot for them.
Well, and I'll jump in there and say right off the bat, if you're anybody's listening, very interested in website, working through websites and, you know, the social media stuff, that's where we're really trying to change our environment and reaching out, whether it's through YouTube access and other things and that technological stuff. We're, unfortunately, many of us on the board aren't overly privy of some of that stuff. And if you have a specialty there, we would really, really would appreciate some assistance if anyone ever wants to jump in here.
So what's the best way to get in touch?
Let's see, crsmusicians@gmail.com.
Okay.
Would probably be the best way, and you can, again, find that on our webpage.
Okay. So the best thing is to just go to the webpage and find that. But, yeah, I had written crsmusicians@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen that before, but, well, we're definitely going to get a dose of what feelings sound like on this Friday night, and you say this is going to run through the month. Is there a closing date?
Well, I think what we're going to end up doing is we're going to keep it open on the websites all the way up through probably just the first of the new year, and then around probably January 2nd or 3rd, we'll probably pull it, but we'll keep it within our website of CRS, within one of our musical tabs, or whatever you want to call it, on our website. So it'll always be there, but we're going to at least take it off of the main pages of all these sites here on the 2nd of
November. Are we also doing a YouTube channel where people can follow us?
Yeah, we are, and that's under the Columbia River Symphony. You can find us on YouTube also, and people want to subscribe to our channel. They'll get a notification as soon as the video's been released.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm going to do that. So, well, this is very exciting. Once again, I'm not surprised, but I am impressed. So congratulations to the Columbia River Symphony, Corey Peterson, conductor, director, Angela Calvin Peterson, first violinist, and their two little ones. What are their names again?
Cora and Mia.
We have Mia and Cora Rose.
Right. Mia and Cora Rose, who both have been on KMUN radio. So, okay, folks, have a great time, and I'm very much looking forward to listening and seeing you. Take care.
Okay, Carol. Thank you very much.
Hope to see you soon, Carol.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Folks, the arts are alive and well, and I am so pleased to be able to share all of this with you. And without KMUN, that's coastradio.org, there's a donate button there, too. You can always support us in supporting the community. And a big thank you from me to the staff. Graham is behind the machinery today. I can't really see him, but I know he's there.
Hi, Carol.
There he is. Popped his head out. And to all of our staff who keep this station going and the board, and to the volunteers, the fabulous homegrown radio makers, and to you, the audience, thanks so much for listening. I do want to let you know that Friday through Sunday, all the way through the end of the month, at the Hoffman Gallery in Manzanita, there is a show of art with Kyla Shogren Textiles, Lisa Sophia Paintings, Barbara Temple Ayers Ceramic, and Jan Pretty Wearable Weavings. And also the Hoffman is offering scholarships. So check out hoffmanarts.org as well as the live gallery. And tomorrow, Southwester on their Instagram.com is going to be sharing trombonist Denzel Mendoza, a.k.a. Illegal Sun, 8 to 9:30. Gearhart Art Walk is apparently taking place tomorrow from 2 to 5. And Seaside is lighting up, but is not going to have an art walk. And Cannon Beach is lighting up as well. I hope you're lighting up as well. We all need to light up in this dark season. I'm going to wish you in advance. Hanukkah begins on Thursday evening. We light our first light, and then we increase the light. We need to make the light greater and greater in these dark times. And I wish you all stay well, stay safe, and support the arts. And we're going to go out with a song also commemorating Human Rights Day, which is Thursday. And this is Saigon El Norte. Thanks, folks, for being here.